Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
We're continuing our study in the book of Acts, and if you would open your Bibles, please, to Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 32. We read this as part of our last look at chapter 4, but it leads right into what we'll be seeing in chapter 5 today. So Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 32, and then reading through verse 16 of chapter 5. This is God's word. "Now the entire group of those who believed were of one heart and mind, and no one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but instead they held everything in common. With great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the rescue of the Lord Jesus, to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was on all of them. For there was not a needy person among them, because all those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the proceeds of what was sold, and laid them at the apostles' feet. This was then distributed to each person as any had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus by birth, the one the apostles called Barnabas, which is translated son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. But a man named Ananias, with his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property. However, he kept back part of the proceeds with his wife's knowledge and brought a portion of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. Ananias, Peter asked, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the proceeds of the land? Wasn't it yours while you possessed it? And after it was sold, wasn't it at your disposal? Why is it that you planned this thing in your heart? You have not lied to people, but to God." When he heard these words, Ananias dropped dead, and a great fear came on all who heard. The young men got up, wrapped his body, carried him out, and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. "Tell me," Peter asked her, "did you sell the land for this price?" "Yes," she said, "for that price." Then Peter said to her, "Why did you agree to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out." Instantly, she dropped dead at his feet. When the young men came in, they found her dead, carried her out, and buried her beside her husband. Then great fear came on the whole church and on all who heard these things. Many signs and wonders were being done among the people through the hands of the apostles. They were all together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared to join them, but the people spoke well of them. Believers were added to the Lord in increasing numbers, multitudes of both men and women. As a result, they would carry the sick out into the streets and lay them on cots and mats so that when Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. In addition, a multitude came together from the towns surrounding Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those who were tormented by unclean spirits. And they were all healed. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. The verses before the story of Ananias and Sapphira and the verses after the story of Ananias and Sapphira are essential to having a proper understanding of the story of Ananias and Sapphira. First of all, God was doing something absolutely supernatural, not just in the circumstances of the people, but in the hearts of the people. God was doing a great work, and people were becoming unselfish. They were no longer concerned about, hey, wait, that's mine. I was known as a toddler in our home as the little German, because my favorite word was mine, mine, which has a different context in German. But I was very concerned about mine shoes, mine toy. Everything that was mine was mine. Very important to me. I was an early capitalist, very concerned about property rights, and I still believe in capitalism. I still believe in property rights, but I'll tell you something. I don't worship mammon. Jesus said you cannot worship God and mammon. You can't be devoted to two masters.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. As parents and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His Word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
The early Christians, having been bought by the blood of Jesus, no longer were concerned about protecting what was theirs. They now saw everything that they had as belonging to the Lord, and as stewards of what belonged to God, they weren't concerned about protecting themselves, but about meeting the needs of others. And so if they had an abundance, if they had more than they needed, they were ready to share, eager to share, glad to share. And so as you look at these verses at the end of chapter 4, please note that when it says, verse 34, there was not a needy person among them. One of the things we have trouble with in our culture is recognizing what is a real need. I've been in the homes of people who were living on public assistance. In other words, their bills were being paid by the taxpayers like me. And yet they had spent the money that came into them on things like giant screen TVs that I couldn't afford. Now, I actually have been blessed to the point of having large screen TVs. But at that point in time, they cost about 3 times what they cost now, and it definitely was not a need. And let me tell you, it's still not a need for me. I don't spend a lot of time in front of the television, and it's nice to be able to have a nice big screen. But that is not a need at all. Through most of human history, people got along quite well without televisions. And through most of the history of television, people didn't have giant screens. So the idea that somehow that's something I need, utter hogwash. The difference between needs and wants, very, very, very important to understand. And what happened here was that people who had been lacking now had their needs met, and as a result, there was not a needy person among them, because all who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the proceeds of what was sold, and laid them at the apostles' feet. This was something, and this was distributed to each person as any had, here's the word again, need. Okay? If there was a need, it was met. And it was done by people selling their extra in order to have funds to meet those needs. Now, there were still people who owned houses. And we see who were believers, who were walking with the Lord. We see that in the New Testament when reference is made to the church that meets at so-and-so's house. Okay? It wasn't that suddenly they all became homeless because they sold everything they had. It's that those who had houses and lands sold them and brought the proceeds and put them at the apostles' feet. Now, that was also another thing to note. They didn't say, okay, I'll distribute it. They brought it to those who were in authority over them, and they said, you guys have the big picture, you decide. And eventually, in the book of Acts, we're going to see that there were people within the church who were specifically assigned responsibility just to handle that kind of benevolence need, so that the apostles and elders did not have to be responsible for it. But the idea, you know, you've really gotten to the point where you don't care so much about that stuff when you are willing to turn it over to others to administrate. Okay? It's like, here, you guys handle that. Well, that was the context, and a positive example is given in the person of Barnabas. Barnabas, who we're going to read more about later in the book of Acts, he's introduced here. Barnabas is an example of one who sold a field that he owned and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, that obviously was well received. It was respected. That was a great thing to do. God bless this person. So there's a couple in the church, and they have some property that they think they could sell. They don't really want to give the whole thing. They don't want to give the whole amount. And so what they decide to do, they want the respect of looking like the other folks who are doing this generous thing. What they're going to do is they're going to sell it for this amount of money and then bring a portion of that and say, here you go. This is what we got for our field. How much of a problem is that? That's called hypocrisy. Okay? They're pretending to be more generous than they are. They're pretending to be more holy than they are. Let me just tell you something. Everybody God saves is a sinner. Okay? We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It's not like there are good people and bad people, and those of us who are good enough get to go to heaven. The only folks going to heaven are sinners who've been saved by God's grace. But some people, rather than confessing their sins, want to try and hide their sins, veneer them, and make it appear that they are better than they are. Ananias and Sapphira could have kept the property, and it would have been okay. Ananias and Sapphira could have said, you know, we'd like to get in on this giving thing, but we have some things we'd like to do. We were thinking about getting a large screen TV. And so we want to give some of the proceeds of the field that we're going to sell. We want to give some of that in order to help out with the poor. I mean, obviously the needs are being met. It's not like there's a tremendous crying need right now for more. But we would like to get in on the giving thing. But we'd like to give part of the proceeds of the field and keep part for ourselves. No problem. That's fine. The problem was not that they kept part back. The problem was that they tried to pretend that they were giving their all. See, that's what should make us very careful about singing songs like we just sang. Okay? It's not that we shouldn't sing those songs. It's that when we sing those songs, we better cry out to God to make those things real in our lives. Those are called songs of aspiration. We aspire to that. Okay? All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. Man, if that's not true, don't sing that song. So you're telling us not to sing? No, I'm telling you to surrender all to Jesus. Okay? Don't sing it and not do it. Don't say, Lord, I'm yours. I'm just yours. And then the whole time, they planned what they were going to do. Don't miss that. It wasn't a spur-of-the-moment kind of thing. They planned their hypocrisy. He kept back part of the proceeds with his wife's knowledge and brought a portion of it laid at the apostles' feet. And Peter says, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back a part of the proceeds of the land? Wasn't it yours while you possessed it? You didn't have to do this. And after it was sold, wasn't it at your disposal? Why is it that you planned this thing in your heart? You've not lied to people, but to God. Here's the issue. They weren't just lying to people. When you lie to the church, you're lying to God. And God does not like that. And so what was dealt with here was not just the matter of some dollars withheld. What was dealt with here was an attitude that says, I can pretend to be holier than I am, and I can lie to the believers because they're just people like me. No, God inhabits the body of Christ. And this problem is a problem today. This is a problem wherever people fail to realize that real Christians are not just human. Paul says to the Corinthians, shame on you, you're acting as if you were mere men. How many times have you heard somebody say, well, after all, I'm only human? When I hear somebody say that, I said, well, you need to get saved. Because you see, if you give your life to Christ, you're his. He lives in and through you. And that's why you can't just do whatever you feel like. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You belong to him. You're to live a holy life. Yeah, I don't know if I'm ready for that. Well, you ready for hell? Those are your alternatives. You want to belong to the Lord or you want hell? God have mercy on me. Yes. Yes, indeed. And he will. The amazing thing is that God loves people like us. And he's willing to save people like us. And he's willing to transform people like us so that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Wow. That's why it was vital that the church understand this isn't just a bunch of people trying to follow some rules and learn some new traditions. We are the body of Christ. And Ananias and Sapphira were a shocking object lesson that began to bring those truths home to God's people so that great fear came on the whole church. How did Peter know about Ananias and Sapphira? What happened was God the Holy Spirit, living in the Apostle Peter, revealed to him the truth of what was going on and the fact that Ananias and Sapphira had not only lied about the amount, but that they'd plotted together. That's why he didn't have to do a big investigation. God already knew. You can't lie to God. God already knows. God knows everything about you. We don't confess our sins to God so that he'll know what's going on. We confess our sins to God because we need to get in step with the truth. Adam and Eve blew it big time in the garden. God shows up. They try to hide. They put leaves over themselves and crouch down in the bushes. Talk about a stupid pair. The creator of the universe, they're going to try and hide. Dumb. Dumb, dumb, dumb. That's where we get it. So they're hiding, and God says, you can't hide from me. I see you. Nope. It's not what God says. God says, where are you, man? Adam means man. Where are you, Adam? God says, well, we heard the sound of you walking in the garden, and we were ashamed because we were naked, so we ran and hid ourselves. And God says, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten the fruit of the tree that I told you not to eat from? Oh, it was my wife. She gave it to me. The woman you gave me, she gave me the fruit. So it's really kind of ultimately your fault, definitely not mine. We're still doing that today. We do the wrong thing and we try and blame God. Why did God ask questions? Was it because God had kind of missed that? He overlooked it? No, it's because we need to confess the truth. And that's why we need to confess our sins. If Ananias and Sapphira had said, we don't want to give the whole amount, let's just give part of it. And they'd gone to the apostles and said, hey, we sold a field and we wanted to give some of the money to the church. Praise the Lord. You'd never have heard of them. I mean, that would have been fine. The problem was trying to pretend to be something that they weren't. The problem was trying to lie to the body of Christ. Ananias and Sapphira, they dropped dead. But was that because God was in a bad mood or because God loves his church? God loved his church. And so, great fear came on the whole church and on all who heard these things. And many signs and wonders were being done among the people through the hands of the apostles. Verse 13, no one else dared to join them. In other words, outsiders. They were not getting the spectators they used to get because people heard that if things aren't right, you might die. Okay? I mean, God's doing supernatural wonders, and if you're sick and you want to get well, it's a good place to go. But if you just want to hang out and see the show, don't go there. No one else dared to join them, but the people spoke well of them, and believers were added to the Lord in increasing numbers, multitudes of both men and women. People came from all around because God was showing up, doing supernatural things in order to confirm his word. God wanted the news to get out that Jesus is risen from the dead. And if you want to meet him, the place to do it is where his followers are gathered together. Let me tell you, that's still true today. It's still true today. If you're seeking the Lord, if you want to know him, tell him so. He's alive. And you can know him. You say, well, I'm not seeing a lot of miracles of healing and deliverance anymore. Yeah, we can talk about that another time. But I'll tell you this, God is still delivering people from demonic forces, and God is still healing people from various diseases, and I have seen some amazing answers to prayer. God is at work, but he works his way on his timetable. And if your plan is to try and manipulate God for the purpose of your image, you better think again. Because that's what Ananias and Sapphira thought they could do. And it did not work out well for them either.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.